Next on BYU Sports Nation, four games down, eight to go. How have your expectations changed for the 2016 BYU football team?
College football analysts Blaine Fowler and David Nixon explain their expectations after 1-3 start. And how good is Toledo?
Plus, the new BYU Hall of Fame class game day for BYU volleyball and three BYU teams climbing the top 25. Let's go!
This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by the BYU Store. Simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now, from Studio B, here's Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan.
Oh, we are live in Radio Vision, BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Tuesday, September 27th, wherever and however you're dialed in. It's great to have you with us. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Donald Trump's new Twitter consultant, Jerem Jordan. Boy, have you got your hands full.
Yeah, I tuned into that for 3 minutes.
You did watch.
Yeah. My wife really wanted to watch, so I was like, all right, let's watch. And then we're like, ah!
What's happening between the Saints and Falcons?
That's exactly what happened next. And then I was like, meh, TV off.
The question is, did they get your rating point for watching those 3 minutes?
I don't know that my house is connected to Nielsen or how it works, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a government conspiracy.
I don't know who Nielsen is. Is it Elder S. Gifford Nielsen? Oh. Who's Nielsen?
Oh, my goodness. Here are today's BYU Sports Nation headlines. The Michigan State game with BYU kickoff time has been announced. BYU will face the Spartans October 8th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 1:30 Mountain. That game will be on either ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2.
Or Telemundo. So we'll see with that. That means BYU will leave next Thursday. They'll go a day early.
On Telemundo. Michigan State and the BYU.
Oh, boy. Did you know there's a BYU TV International in Spanish and Portuguese? Pretty
I did
cool,
know
right?
That. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty cool. It won't be live on that channel.
Okay, that's very good. Also, did you hear BYU Athletics has a new Hall of Fame class?
I did. This is very cool. They've been announced. So it's Pam Miller Geitzen of golf, cross-country track coach Cheryl W. James, Yonetta Lai of softball. My first play-by-play experience ever was with the BYU softball team with Yonetta Lai, so very cool. Michaela Manova of cross-country, and of course, Mike Wall of volleyball, who was a baller. He's actually an assistant coach on the USA team that was in Rio with Taylor Sander. So congratulations to those guys. You are hosting the induction ceremony Thursday night at the Marriott Center.
Yeah, really cool to be involved with such high-class BYU athletes.
Maybe one day you will be in the Hall of Fame, Spencer. You're going to have to stay around here a while.
Nope.
Is it no or is it yep?
I'll let you decide.
Nope.
But congratulations to all of the inductees and looking forward to a fantastic night on Thursday.
Hall of Famers. Like, to get into any Hall of Fame, you got to be amazing.
And Jerem Jordan is stepping in for me in my usual soccer broadcast duties on Thursday night as BYU opens West Coast Conference play against Santa Clara.
I'm no Aroldis Chapman, but I do throw 100 miles an hour verbally.
Ooh.
So let's go, okay? Thursday. We ain't messing around Thursday.
BYU women's volleyball moves up two spots to number 11 in the latest AVCA Top 25. The Cougars, in a rare Tuesday matchup, conference play at Pepperdine, 10 Eastern on the W.TV.
On a Tuesday. At Cisco Roo. What was that? Italian Spencer Linton? Terrible. That's what he said.
No, it was my Telemundo Count Dracula voice.
BYU and the Michigan State.
Yeah, it's not working for me. It's not working for me.
Yeah, it's Transylvanian,
blah,
man.
Blah, 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 blah. The Tennessee Titans announced they've signed Jordan Leslie to be a part of the practice squad. So the former UTEP minor and BYU Cougars signed to the Tennessee Titans practice squad.
So will you follow him on Twitter now?
I have been since he was on here. I have been.
Whatever, dude.
It's been months.
I'm telling.
Telling what? That I've been following him? Listen.
I see you clicking to follow him right now.
Okay, ever since he came on the show, I followed him in that moment. Was that
when he called you out?
Was that Bush League?
When he called you out.
No, I followed him moments before that.
Just so you could say, oh, I follow you.
Yes, exactly right.
Good stuff. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's What's Trending on BYU Sports Nation.
The first four One win, three losses for the only college football team in America that have played four consecutive games against Power 5 schools to open the season. And I am talking about BYU. Everybody knew the 2016 BYU football schedule was ambitious, including ESPN college football analyst Trevor Maddich, who put the results of the first four in perspective for us yesterday.
2-2 would have been phenomenal. 3-1 would have been a minor miracle, as in we need to open up the scriptures and add another book.
Carrying on with the train of thought from Trevor Maddich from the first book of Captain Obvious, it stinks to lose, but not all losses are created equally. For BYU, the frustration is both understood and validated because three losses have come by 3 points or less, which brings us to a very intriguing stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
BYU is the only team in FBS who has played four games decided by 3 points or less. What?
Huh?
So BYU is the only team to play four Power Fives in the first 4 weeks and to play four games decided by 3 points or less. What in the world? This is the most unique set of four games start a season in BYU history by far. And BYU is 1-3.
No teams out of 128 other than BYU have been in this close of games consecutively.
I do want to point this out. Our research staff, which consists of about two people, they have done a fantastic job the last 2 days looking up these stats. So nice job to them.
BYU's four games have been decided by 9 points overall, the one win by two against Arizona. Frustrating? Of course. But keep in mind, there is a distinct difference between being frustrated and discouraged. Head coach Kalani Sitake addressed his feelings about his team yesterday.
Some really good positives and some negatives that we need to fix, and that's coach's talk again. But if we can put it all together and have a clean game, I think we'll be a lot more successful. And I've said it before, we need to have our best game this weekend.
Expectations set at, quote, we need to have our best game this weekend. Four games down, what will happen next? Let's discuss on Twitter.
Our Twitter question today, Spencer, is BYU's 1-3. How do you feel and what are your expectations going forward? The first tweet, at JamesSet, S08. Use hashtag BYUSN.
JamSets.
JamSets08.com. Disappointed and optimistic. We're only 7 points away from 4-0, and we're not playing well. 9 wins is still possible. Use hashtag BYUSN and weigh in.
9 wins is still possible. Wow.
That's pretty ambitious.
Yes.
Like BYU schedule. Here are my thoughts on this. 9 to 10 wins with the new staff against this schedule would have been a really ambitious idea. You called for 9 at the beginning of the year. That was very ambitious.
Including
a
bowl game.
That was, yeah. 9? Wow. That's a lot. I called for 7, which is where BYU is pacing towards, right, at this point. The reason I'm frustrated but not discouraged is because the games have been close, and BYU's put up a good fight, right? I'm not huge on moral victories. Like, someone in our shop here said, oh, well, BYU's one of the better 1-3 teams in the country. I said, this is not a conversation we're going to have. BYU's 1-3. We're not going to count the moral victories on the side. You count real victories, and there is one. But I like this BYU team. I think they have talent. I think they're just a couple plays away from making it happen. I still think they're pretty good. You hope that in the next four, you go 2-2. So you go into November 3-5. That's kind of discouraging, right? You're 3-5. You're frustrated, whatever word you want to use on there. But you're hoping to get 3 or 4 wins in November, so then you'd get up to 6 or 7. You go to a bowl game. Maybe you have a chance for 8, maybe. Best case scenario in my mind is probably getting to 8 at this point in the bowl game. And then that's year one. That's year one under Kalani Sitake. And he starts to get his guys in here. BYU continues to evolve, gets better, continues to play these tough schedules. Hopefully is in the Big 12. If they're not, BYU has a fantastic schedule at the beginning of the year next year. LSU, Utah, Wisconsin, two of those games, 2-3 at home. That's where I see BYU at this point. I'm frustrated, but I'm encouraged by the fact that BYU has played these games tough. There have been some self-imposed mistakes. If BYU doesn't throw a pick at the end there, I think they beat West Virginia. You go for it against Utah. UCLA was the most frustrating game of the four. But I'm not like, oh, come on! Hey, it's an ambitious schedule. Tom Homo wants BYU to put themselves out there.
I stand by what I said months ago when the schedule went official, and that is if BYU is in San Diego at the Poinsettia Bowl, success. Because turnover is so hard. That doesn't
and
mean...
turnovers are
yes,
hard as well.
And turnovers also take a toll.
Ah!
That said, I was hopeful at the beginning of the season because of the experience BYU had coming back in the skill positions that they could win 9 games. And again, table that with including a bowl game. So I was counting, like, I anticipate that BYU will have a good shot to win the Poinsettia Bowl when they get to the Poinsettia Bowl. That's going to happen. Okay? Hot take on September 27th.
If BYU doesn't make a bowl game, Spencer, that would be incredibly disappointing.
Oh, my goodness.
I would call the season a disappointment. Even though BYU sits 1-3, they have to make a bowl game. This team's too good not to make a bowl game.
Absolutely. Again, I thought 9-4 was feasible if BYU got through the first 4 games at 2-2. That's obviously not the case. So it's time to adjust. Now, before I get into win totals, this is how I feel, since that is part of the Twitter conversation today. The early struggles and growing pains should pay dividends for BYU. Common logic suggests that. And I think they will in the form of BYU winning some close games in the future of the 2016 schedule. There are attributes of toughness gained after playing in a bunch of close games. You cannot simulate that stuff in practice. And so while it hurts now, they are tougher for what has happened. BYU's going to end up on the winning side of some of these close games. I sent out a poll question yesterday asking the following. After 4 games, how many wins do you think BYU will finish the 2016 season with? And over 700 of you have voted thus far. 45% of you are in the same boat as Jerem Jordan. 7 wins. That was hands down the leading result. 33% said 6 wins. Mm. Wow. So a 1-3 start has taken its toll. Now, I think that BYU can win 6 of the last 8, finish the regular season 7-5, and win a bowl game 8-5. Would you take 8-5 today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when we said the win total, we said in the regular season, didn't we? I think that's what we projected, right?
No.
Oh, my bad. I don't remember thinking about the bowl game when I gave you 7. Because we don't know who BYU's playing.
Well, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, so, yeah, I projected 8 wins in the regular season, and you said 7.
Yeah, okay.
Still, eight in the regular season was ambitious. That'd have been great.
Just 1 game more. Yeah, that would assume, like, oh, you get a game here. Unfortunately, 1-3 is BYU's had... The first 4 games decided by 9 points. That's ridiculous.
Here's what's interesting. Crazy. If BYU does win one of the first 4 games that they lost, or one of the 3 losses they have, if they had won one of those and they're 2-2,
yeah,
how differently would people have answered this poll?
You just bump it up 1. Yeah.
It just totally changes the feeling of what happens. They're 1-3. I don't think that this team... They're too good to not, like you said, go to a bowl game and have a shot at winning 8 games if you throw in a bowl game win.
And this is year 1 under Kalani Sitake. This is year 1 of a new offense, a new defense, the most ambitious schedule in school history. Michigan State's really good. That's on the road. I know they got blown out last week, but that's a good team. UCLA took Stanford to the wire. Utah's a good team. They're 4-0. Boise State is ranked now 24th, 3-0, I believe. These are good. I mean, this is a good schedule. It might be too tough. Like, if you want BYU to win 9-plus a year, these schedules are really tough. BYU's going after it, and it is quality wins, because it is not the college football playoff or a New Year's Six. Because if BYU wanted that, they would pull a Boise State and just pull back the reins and just win a couple meaningful games instead of stacking it with, like, 6 to 8 really quality games. Boise State could not handle what BYU is doing. Toledo could in no way, shape, or form handle. In fact, most Power Fives don't go unscathed with a schedule like this. Hardly any.
Conversation happening right now on Twitter. Use the hashtag BYUSN and join BYU Sports Nation. BYU is 1-3. How do you feel, and what are your expectations going forward? At Mr_Flintstone94 said, excited that we hung with them, sad that we lost, but could have won. Excited for the future. We'll win a lot now.
Oh, yeah. This is year 1 of Kalani Sitake. What happens when BYU gets the guys for their systems in here and Kalani gets his recruits and BYU starts going? This is the very beginning. Like a CEO doesn't come into the company, and generally that first quarter is not crushing it, right? It takes a little bit of time before that business is transformed by new leadership.
Hey, on the way, BYU men's cross country jumps big time in the polls. We'll tell you just how much. And the women's team also making a move in the top 25.
Nice.
Also still to come, former BYU and NFL linebacker David Nixon on where this BYU football team has grown the most. But first, Blaine Fowler joins us with his adjusted win projection for 2016. And what is the biggest strength and weakness of the offense? This is BYU Sports Nation.
He's got his notes, man.
BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Simulcast on BYU Radio, moving pictures on BYU TV, our conversation happening right now on Twitter. We invite all of you, will you follow BYU Sports Nation and use the hashtag BYUSN when you reply?
You haven't used the quote commitment pattern in some 13 years, I believe it's been. Something like that?
Almost 14.
And also commit to watch After Further Review tonight at 7 Eastern time as David, Brian, Dave, and Blaine break down BYU and West Virginia and get you ready for Toledo, because this is an intriguing matchup. BYU's 1-3, battle-tested, ticked off, frustrated, and in comes Toledo, who's 3-0. They think they're good. They haven't played anybody, and now they're going to play somebody on a short week across the country. So check it out, 7 Eastern tonight.
How about this? BYU men's cross country, after upsetting the number one team in the country in Charlottesville, have jumped from number 12 to number 4 in the USTF CCCA poll this morning. The women's team jumped 4 spots from number 19 to 15 after they bested a couple of top 20 teams. Congratulations to both cross country teams moving on up.
And that's the coaches' poll. There's a media poll where BYU is number one, Flow Track. And Ed Eystone said, yeah, I don't think we're the number one team. Even though they kicked butt on Saturday, which is really funny.
Our Twitter question today, BYU football is 1-3. How do you feel, and what are your expectations going forward? At Laser Sheep chiming in, I'm really okay. Not with 1-3, but I'm behind this team as much as ever. They are improving, and the team is fine. Kalani Sitake said yesterday, there is nothing that will break this team up. This is as close-knit a group as I have ever been around. In fact, he said this is the closest group of guys he's ever coached and been around.
We'll discuss this with Blaine in a moment, but I think that has everything to do with the attitude of the head coach and the personality.
Attitude reflect leadership.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Blaine Fowler joining us now in Studio B. Uncle B, national champion.
Thanks, handsome as ever,
Blaine.
Thanks, Julius.
Hey, you're welcome. Yes, and you.
Right side or left side, strong side.
Gary Bertier.
Gary Bertier.
You got it,
man. Cannot replace a Gary Bertier. Remember
the Titans is such a great movie.
I think it's the best sports movie. Either that or Rudy. Best sports movies of all time.
It's Rudy for me.
And I like Miracle too, but I can watch Remember the Titans and Rudy 100 times.
Yeah, whenever Remember the Titans is on, it's like I'm going to watch this.
It's fun. Yeah. Like, it won't make me cry. Rudy would make me cry.
Yeah, Rudy makes me cry every time.
Yeah, I love it.
How the do music, you not cry?
Sometimes on Sunday mornings, I listen to the theme song Rudy.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry to distract you, Julius, but you threw that out there, brother.
Fun fact, if you want to watch Rudy, it's on demand on the BYU TV app.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on demand.
There you go.
Yes.
And I believe very edited from the swear words.
That's good, though. That's good.
Yeah. The G-rated Rudy.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to T.C. Williams High School as well. Blaine Fowler.
Virginia.
Our Twitter question today. BYU is 1-3. How do you feel, and what are your expectations for this team going forward?
I don't know if you remember. Back at the beginning of the year, I thought 8 was a good win total, but I hoped that they would go 2-2 in their first 4. And so I still think that 7 is a reasonable target for them. And I won't be flabbergasted if they get 8, but I will be surprised if they don't win 6 of these last 8. I think they will. And I saw some things from the sideline, you know, standing right by the bench most of the game on Saturday, that were really encouraging to me, especially in the second half. I felt like the light bulb for the offense went on in the second half of this football game, where the timing seemed right, where confidence seemed to rise. And, you know, so they get a pick on the tip ball at the end. But I think they felt like they were going to go down and win that ball game when they got the ball. And think about it. They had to overcome the first tip ball interception when they should have handily gone down and won the game. And I didn't even see that hurt their confidence. And then West Virginia gave them the gift back down on the 5-yard line. So it's like, hey, you know what? You guys gave us a gift, so we feel really, really bad about it. So we're going to give you a gift back. But I feel like those last two drives, BYU had the confidence that they were going to go down and they were going to score and they were going to win and things were clicking. And people, make no mistake, that was a away football game. West Virginia was playing a home football game. Their video staff was running the video board. Their crowd was three times BYU's. Their band was in the house. It was moved a few hours away from their campus, but it was their home game. So it was a true road game for BYU. On third downs, their loudspeaker, announcer was on third down and getting them jumping and all that. When it was third down for West Virginia and BYU's on defense, BYU's crowd was trying to, but nobody, they weren't getting any help from the PA announcer or any of that. It was all West Virginia. So a true road game, and they go down to the wire in it. So I walked away from that. Dave McCann and I were talking as we were getting ready to do the postgame show, and I said, they're 1-3, and I feel good about where they're at, which is weird.
It is
to
weird.
Me. I think that 7 wins is not out of the question. So, and I want to give you guys a parallel. Okay, can I give you a parallel?
Absolutely.
Please, Uncle Ben.
So my son Landon over the weekend, I was telling him, I feel good, and I don't know why. And Landon said, Dad, let me tell you something I thought about. Nebraska. I'm going, what? I don't get it. What's Nebraska? And he goes, Nebraska fired Bo Pelini. So Pelini leaves after a 9-4 season when they lost in a bowl game, in a close bowl game to
USC. Sounds familiar.
Okay, so sounds familiar, right? They bring in Mike Riley, who says, we're not going to run the spread anymore. That doesn't fit here at Nebraska. We're going to change to a more pro style. We'll do multiple sets, but it's going to be more pro style. We can recruit big hosses. In the long term, we're going to rebuild this thing to have success in the Big Ten in the long haul. So they go out, and in their first 6 games, they go 2-4. Mm-hmm. And they lose to BYU 28-33.
On the final play.
Miami 33-36 in overtime.
Three.
Illinois 13-14.
One.
Wisconsin 21-23.
Two.
Wow.
There's a team that had
four
games.
And they just couldn't figure
points.
Out how to win at the ends because they hadn't been in that offense long enough to understand where the big plays come in clutch time. But they were learning against really good competition, right? Now, their 2 wins were against South Alabama and Southern Miss. Okay, so they're gonna beat those teams, right? So now in the back half, now remember, Nebraska only went 5-7 last year, but in the back half they played number 6 and number 3. They played Michigan State and Iowa. And, oh, by the way, they beat number 6 on the road.
Yeah, how about that?
And they lost to Iowa. But down the stretch, they beat Michigan State. They beat Rutgers. They beat UCLA in their bowl game. They lost in the back half to Iowa. So they finished 5-7. They got into a bowl game and won that bowl game and finished 6-7 because there wasn't enough eligible teams. So, but in the back half of their schedule,
they got better.
I think the light bulb went on in a loss to Northwestern for them, where they lost 28-30. But their offense looked like it was starting to click. And I did a bunch of research after landing. I'm like, oh, and then they go on and they finish strong. And it's okay when you lose at Iowa when they were number 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now what is Nebraska doing this year? They're 4-0 ranked in the top 15. And they already have wins over Oregon and Northwestern. Because now it's a carryover from last year and they get it. And they know where the big plays are right now. So it wasn't necessarily that they needed a whole bunch of new players and they needed Mike Riley's guys recruited it. The players they had were good enough. He didn't take over a losing program. Kalani didn't take over a losing program, but it's an adjustment on offense. I think the defense is way ahead of where they were. And guess what? BYU doesn't play number 6 and number 3 in the back half of their schedule. So instead of 5-7 like Nebraska was, I think BYU's got a legitimate shot to be 7-5 or 8-5 because I think their light bulb went on in the second half of West Virginia. So there's your parallel. Look at Nebraska. Hmm. Similar situation. And Mike Riley is the kind of guy that creates an environment like Kalani's creating at BYU where they have confidence. The kids still believed even though they were losing some games. This is where we're at. So I think it's Landon, my son Landon, who played at BYU, I think that parallel is a good parallel. It's not that far off, but BYU's schedule in the last 6 isn't as crazy as Nebraska's was in the last 6.
Absolutely. And I think hope is a powerful emotion. And I think that BYU still has hope because these games were close and BYU goes, we didn't make a couple plays. It wasn't like BYU was overpowered. BYU's played some games in the past at Wisconsin 2013 where it was a 10-point game, but you're like, listen, that was not as close as it looked in the end. But BYU hung with and plays these teams. Now they play a Toledo team that we know is good, but we don't know how good. What do you think of Toledo?
They're a little bit scary because I think offensively they're dangerous. They're similar offensively to what they saw against Arizona and even what they saw against West Virginia. They spread you out, the quick throw game, they do all of that. The difference is that Toledo's not going to be quite as physical up front as those two teams. And I think BYU defensively will fare better. They may give up a big play here and there. And, you know, they're scoring like crazy, but Toledo hasn't been smacked in the face like they will by BYU this week because they just haven't played teams so far on their schedule that are that level. Now, keep in mind, Toledo historically has stepped out of their league and been able to get up for a game here and there against P5-type programs like BYU and have fared well. So they have the confidence that they can do that, but they've got to travel, as you mentioned, Spencer, on a short week.
Yes.
Or, I mean, Julius, on a short week and have to come to Provo, play at elevation against a team that's really, really hungry and I think is really, really good defensively. Don't get too concerned over West Virginia and what they did because I believe West Virginia is going to do that all year in their league. The teams in the Big 12 are built right now to score points. They have a hard time stopping each other. So they're going to do that to a lot of teams.
Did that not feel like a Big 12 game?
It felt like a Big 12 game. Now, here's the – I think BYU, when they get into the Big 12, will be like the Stanford of the Pac-12. They'll load up and manhandle people up front, and they'll play a different style. And that's what Kalani's building this thing for, is to be able to create mismatches up front, play like a professional, like a pro team, like an NFL team. And I think that BYU, by the time they get in the Big 12, will create some problems for those teams matching up. They'll keep the ball away from them. They'll be physical. They'll win games like the one they just lost to West Virginia.
What is the biggest issue or concern with BYU football right now? Because we're 1-3, and you said I feel hopeful. What's the biggest issue with this team right now? Is it points off turnovers, or is it something else?
I think that's it, and that comes with confidence. So right now they're not converting their turnovers into enough points. They're averaging just about 2 points per turnover, and they need to average more like 4 points per turnover. And if you think about it, as close as these games have been, if they average 4 points of turnover that they acquire, they're either 3-1 or at worst 2-2. They're probably 3-1. They might even be 4-0 at that point, especially against Utah with the disparity in turnovers and the disparity in points off of turnovers, if they're productive off of turnovers. And so to me, that's a confidence thing. And confidence comes with success. So I think this offense had more success at West Virginia. Now they're playing Toledo. I think they'll move the football in Toledo and get more confidence. So now when they go to Michigan State, they'll have more confidence in short fields to convert into, not settle for field goals, but convert short fields and turnovers into touchdowns, and that will make the difference down the stretch. So that's my biggest concern. They need to have some success against Toledo to carry and build on what they just had against West Virginia offensively, because to me that's all about confidence. That's my biggest concern.
And they need to win the game. If BYU wants to go to a bowl game and wants to, you know, win 6 of the last 8, this is a must-win for BYU. We talked about it last week. Is this a must-win against West Virginia? Against Toledo at home, that's a game you have to win.
No, I agree. And here's the thing. So keep in mind, we go back to this Nebraska parallel. They get 6 of the last 8, or even if they only get 5 of the last 8 and get to a bowl game, this is a program that has the parts and pieces to do what Nebraska's doing this year, next year. And so this is a building year, and I think that they're going to fare better than Nebraska did last year in terms of record, because I really think they'll get to 7. 8 won't flabbergast me if they get to 8. I'd be a little surprised if they get to 8, but it won't completely blow me away. I would expect 7, and if they do, then we can feel really good about where they're going, because it takes time offensively to make that big a switch in terms. But there's not been one game in these first 4 where I've stood there and watched them and go, oh, like Michigan last year. Oh, my gosh, this game needs to get over. They're going to beat them by 100.
Let's go home.
They have matched up physically from a speed perspective, all of that, with really, really good football teams. And we were talking at the commercial, the record of the teams they've played, the only loss of any of those teams against a non-ranked opponent was Arizona's loss to BYU. Every other loss by the teams they've played has been to ranked teams and highly ranked teams at that. So they don't have anything to be ashamed of. Should they be 2-2? They make one more play in one of those games, they are, and then we're all happy.
Yeah.
But I'm okay where they are. I felt good coming out of West Virginia. Now that I've watched the film, I feel even better. And now that I've thought through what Nebraska went through, I get it, and I'm feeling a lot better about things.
Blaine Fowler bringing it in Studio B. Uncle B in Studio B. It just sounds right, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's Studio Uncle B.
Can we just rename it Uncle B instead of Studio B?
Studio Blaine.
Here in Uncle
B. Coming to you from Uncle B.
Blaine, great stuff, man. Watch him on After Further Review tonight, 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain Time. Still on the way. Some of your favorite BYU sports moments discussed with an Olympian between the lines and former NFL linebacker and wannabe scratch golfer David Nixon. What is BYU football's biggest strength? Or
how do we get him off the golf course? That's my biggest question. What in the world?
Welcome back, sports friends. Spencer Linton, Jerem Jordan, and Radio Vision live on BYU Radio, simulcasting on BYU TV. Mark your calendars. Thursday, we're talking hoops.
That's right, baby. Two-hour edition of BYU Sports Nation. We'll have Dave Rose, Eric Mika, Nick Emery, Kyle Davis. 2 hours of BYU Sports Nation coming up Thursday. They start practice on Monday. They had a photo shoot yesterday. The Marriott Center Annex, a.k.a. YMCA, is getting closer to being finished. So this is an exciting time for the men's basketball team.
Photo day for BYU basketball as well. And they are a member
new
of
unis.
The Nike Elite system
so they have
as
new
well.
Unis.
Yeah.
They have new unis. So we're hoping to show those off Thursday.
Let's refresh
Spencer
today's.
Spencer will wear the uniform on Thursday. It's going
to
be great.
Hey, I'd love to. They're not going to let me put that thing on. Are you kidding me?
You sweat too much.
Oh, my goodness. Let's refresh today's BYU Sports Nation headlines. The kickoff time for BYU football's game at Michigan State in early October has been announced. BYU will face the Spartans October 8th, 3:30 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. And David Nixon joining us for headline fun.
There it is.
last year, you and I were in studio hosting the show, and we had everything planned. It's great. And then TV happened. What is it, Murphy's Law or something? So Michigan State, that was announced.
Yeah.
Here we are a week out from that. But first, let's talk about West Virginia. What was your takeaway from that game? And now that BYU is 1-3, how are you feeling about the season?
Yeah, you know, looking back at the game, BYU has so many opportunities. And what I'm loving about this team, you referenced the 1-3, is that BYU obviously has been in each one of those games. And you guys talked about earlier with Michigan. I was at the Michigan game last year, and 31-0. Really, it was over by, like, the first quarter. You could tell the whole team was defeated. They were ready to be done with the game. But this year, you see that this team has so much resiliency, and they continue to fight. And they're in every game, and you're facing great opponents. I mean, we've talked about the record of all four teams combined. So, you know, what I love about this team is that they're fighting hard. Even when they're down, they're able to still fight back and try to make it a game. They just got to get over the hump and win those games. And so when you ask, what are your thoughts on 1-3? I'm disappointed, to be honest. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, well, it was kind of what we expected. With how close those games are, I would think that BYU could have at least pulled out one of those.
Yes.
And so that's why I think 2-2 would be something that I would be okay with. 1-3, I'm still a little disappointed. I think the team is too. I think the team realizes, listen, we've had our opportunities and we can't quite take advantage of them. Taysom mentioned yesterday in his press conference that, you know, we've just got to capitalize on those opportunities and we'll be good. And so a little disappointed, but you still have, you know, the rest of the season available. You still have 8 games left. And so there's definitely more opportunities for them to go make a statement.
You played on a couple teams that went 1-2,
mm-hmm.
not 1-3, but 1-2. How did you guys bounce back from that to have, 11 and 10 win seasons?
Yeah, 11. Well, both my sophomore and junior, we rattled off 10 straight wins. So we went 11-2.
And 7.
I was 6-0-7, we went 11-2. So, yeah, we started both 1-2, and we rattled them off. I think it was just keeping the big picture. I think that's what this team has done a great job of as well. They realize we still have 8 games left. The season's definitely not over. And I think with this team, very similar to our days back in the Mountain West, we'd play TCU, we'd play Utah, who were always ranked still. And so we said, listen, there's still some marquee games for us to go out there and make a statement. This team has those games. They have your Boise State. They have your Michigan States. You have your Cincinnati. And so you've still got some big games left on the schedule to go out there and prove to the fans and to the country that we're a good team. We haven't taken advantage of those breaks. We haven't been able to quite pull it out at the beginning of the season, but we're learning, and now we can go out and still make that big statement and go, you know, pull off these upsets at Michigan State and at Boise State. I mean, to pull one of those off, I think would be huge for this BYU team.
Those are season-defining wins, given everything that has happened early. And so BYU, if they can survive a tough Toledo team, Toledo is a good team. We'll talk about them in just a minute. Get to 2-3, and then, like you said, pull off a win unexpectedly where they will be an underdog at Boise State or at Michigan State, things start to change. That in mind, David, do you have the optimistic glasses on, or are you looking at, I'm not going to call it pessimism, but just are you more of a realist when it comes to BYU's win total? This, where do you have them in the regular season in terms of wins now that they're 1-3?
I mean, I think this team definitely gets bowl eligible. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I think you see I think they definitely lose one of the two against Michigan State or Boise State. Definitely is kind of a strong word. I hope they don't, obviously. But those are two tough road games. But I think they get to bowl eligible. And from there, you said 7, possibly 8 with the bowl game included. They can go out there and win that one. But I think if you can go 7-5 to finish the regular season, I think that's, you know, to make that big of a stretch, to go 6-2 in your last 8 games, I say that's rallying off a pretty good little season.
How can BYU avoid a fourth quarter deficit?
It's all about starting strong in that second half. You look at BYU against Arizona, against Utah, did not score in the third quarter. They went scoreless. Against UCLA, they scored with 3 minutes left in the quarter. And so they've traditionally this season they've just started off really slow in that third quarter, and they've got to stop digging themselves into a hole into this deficit. West Virginia did a better job. West Virginia, they scored on their first drive, right? Jamal's touchdown. And so I think that's why you saw BYU scoring so many points and had a chance in this game, particularly, is because they're able to start fast in that second half. And so it's interesting. You've just got to come out of the locker room. You've got to come out, and it's those halftime adjustments that the coaches are making that you have to really implement. And BYU, for some reason, the season starting it off was just sluggish in that third quarter. And you can win or lose games in that third quarter, because if you get too far behind, your mentality, your psyche, you're like, man, I only got 15 minutes to try to claw back in this one. And you're like, oh, we can't do it. We're kind of out of it.
That happened the last two games. BYU's down 17 and then 16 in the last two games.
A lot of discussion about the BYU offense in particular last week. And now that they put up 32 against West Virginia, some people understandably feeling hopeful about what they can do against Toledo and against the rest of the opponents on the schedule. Where do you feel like BYU was the best on offense last week?
I think you go back to Taysom. Taysom had gotten some heat for the previous games, but Taysom came through in the clutch, 101 yards rushing. He was 65% completion percentage. The interceptions he did have, one of them he was getting hit, going to the ground. He tried to make a play, but unfortunately it didn't work out. And the other one were tip balls, which we've seen has kind of been the Achilles heel for this BYU team this year. So I think Taysom was kind of that steady guy at quarterback, was able to make some good plays, some good throws. But ultimately, it was his legs that was able to open up everything else. I mean, BYU with over 250 yards rushing. It was an impressive outing. More than anything, it was BYU's offense getting the run game going. And that's the biggest difference between all these previous games, is BYU finally kind of got that run game, which we always hear is the cliche, right? Once you open up that run game, it opens up the passing game. But it stands true. And we saw it last week against West Virginia. And they have to do that here at home against Toledo, because when we look back at their last home game against UCLA, they got nothing going. They only had, 26 yards rushing, something like that. So they struggled. So it's essential for them to get that run game going.
We had some fun with Twinkies on the pregame show Saturday.
Shout out to Parker Dahl.
And postgame. I apologize, we don't have any for BYU Sports Nation. The budget, it's not.
I ate more Twinkies in that 2 hours. More than I have in my entire life. I'm not. I think I've had my Twinkie fill for the rest of my life.
I was going to ask you. You look.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. I didn't get to work it off this week, unfortunately. So it's still kind of sitting right here in my cheeks, more or less.
Brian's going to be legitimately disappointed if there aren't Twinkies on Friday.
Well, we just got to bring Gushers for him. I think he'll be all right.
He brings a whole box of Gushers to our meeting
every time. Gushers, gummies. Whatever it is, Starburst. Some type of candy. And the best thing, he's just generous. He's like, hey, here's.
Oh, yeah, I ate.
And we'll go through the bag, and then he pulls out another one. And it's like, dude, where are you sponsored, or what's going on here?
Sugar high. It's a sugar high for BYU TV
soon
Sports.
Soon that Royal Blue podcast going to be brought to you by Gushers.
For sure.
Watch David Nixon tonight on After Further Review, along with Blaine Fowler, Dave McCann, and the aforementioned Brian Logan. Up next, the Cougar Whip Around. Where does the cross-country team rank now, both on the men's and women's sides? And up next, some of your favorite sports moments in our newest segment, Between the Lines with an Olympian. BYU Sports Station presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Come hang out with us, Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan, live from Studio B. If you miss an episode of BYU Sports Nation Live, the rebroadcast is on every single weeknight via BYU TV at 6 Eastern.
And because BYU has a short week, today is the last day of media availability at football practice, so we will be live at football practice, 1:10 Eastern time, with interviews from both the offense and the defense today. We'll have a Facebook Live Q&A after that as well. So at 1:10 Eastern time, coming up in 25 minutes, Hang out with us on our BYU TV Sports Facebook page. That's facebook.com/BYU TV Sports throughout the whole season. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
Yeah, we will also have a BYU Sports Nation Saturday morning countdown to conference special or the general conference pregame show.
That's right. It's the pregame show. We'll tell you who's talking, who we think will be the best speakers. No, I'm just playing. We'll recap the Toledo game and get you set for Michigan State. But we'll have fun Saturday morning. You can just wake up. You can be in your pajamas. You're cooking breakfast there, waiting to hang out with your fam. You can watch BYU Sports Nation. And undoubtedly, someone will tweet, is this really what we should be watching before general conference? The answer is yes.
The question.
I'll just say this.
We're here to wake you up for that first session.
Like a good
wake up!
Post them in your cup.
Time now to bring some Olympic mojo to Studio B via 2014 Olympian and BYU Sports Nation contributor Kate Hansen. At Cater Tots is gauging some of your greatest BYU sports memories today in what we call Between the Lines.
What's up, guys? My name's Kate Hansen. I'm here to take you between the lines. It's your BYU Inside Scoop in under 3 minutes. Now, I know we have our teams. I know we love the Cougs, but sometimes it hurts a little bit to watch our team, and it's those moments when it connects that makes it so worth it. It's that moment when they score that touchdown. You're high-fiving everyone around you. You're sharing drinks. You're sharing hot dogs. And, I mean, we've got some of those moments for you today. We sent out a Twitter question asking our fans, what is your favorite BYU memory? And we've got a lot of content back, so we want to show you what we've got. Now, our first tweet is by Chubbs927, and it said his favorite memory was the spot BYU Chuggins caught the winning touchdown. Now, he's standing there, arms open wide, reliving his high school state championship moment. Pretty awesome. Now, do you guys remember that game? It was, 4th and 7. Kind of intense. Tanner goes, he rolls out to the right, and he just kind of lets magic happen.
Starman.
Mitchell Juergens pulls out the Starman right there. And I think that was a time when Tanner and Mitchell knew that what they had was going to be something very, very special. Now, talking about the Boise State game, we've got our next tweet by Crazy Coug Fanatic. And I mean, when we talk crazy, if her Twitter handle does not say it all. She said her favorite moment was rushing the field after Boise State and almost being trampled in the mosh pit of students and players. Now, raise your hand if you know any woman over 50 who's also, leading the charge down in the mosh pit. I mean, she goes hard. There's a picture of her laying in the end zone, a picture of her with one of the athletes. I mean, she loves BYU football. She is the epitome of a BYU football fan, and she's also a friend of the show. We like to call her an FOS. Thank you so much for tweeting in. We love seeing your stuff, Crazy Kook Fanatic, and we want to see more of it. Now, with our third tweet, it's pretty crazy. He said, this is from Laser Sheep, it said his favorite memory was Hurricane Provo. It was a crazy night, but I'll never forget it. BYU owns Texas. Now, I know there was a hurricane before the game. People had to wait 2 hours, but also there was a ton going on the field. And I don't think Texas football has been the same since. I mean, they haven't come back to Provo. We were supposed to lose by 7 against nationally ranked Texas, and we came out and just demolished them. I mean, Taysom Hill just had a field day and ran all over them, and that was a lot of fun to watch. Now, guys, this segment Between the Lines is for you guys, so we want you to send in any good content that you have, any cool memories, any cool photos you have, because you're here for us, but honestly, we're here for you. So make sure you throw it up. Send it to BYU Sports Nation and make sure you hashtag BTL for Between the Lines. So send us what you got because we love you guys. And you know what? Take it away, guys.
Thank you, Kate Hansen. To quote her, Texas football has never been the
Texas
same.
Texas never been the same. Hey, that's great. Anytime we can have an Olympian on the show, I'm all for it.
Hey, remember how Texas beat Notre Dame in that iconic early college football season game? And it was said, Texas is back. Notre Dame's 1-3. So is Texas really back?
Yeah, be careful. When Taysom did that big jump hurdle, you said Taysom is back as well.
I didn't say that. The fans said
that. No, on the post game, you said that.
I said I referenced the fans on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, be careful with one singular instance.
Come on. Yeah, okay. I'm just saying people felt that way. There was this large contingent of people saying, he's back!
Yeah. One thing. Careful.
Careful. You don't want to make a rash assumption based on one play, Jerem?
I love rash assumptions, actually.
It's so fun when
they're
we do
actually way
that.
More fun. That was good stuff from Kate. Thanks, Kate Hansen.
Our Twitter question today, BYU is 1-3. How do you feel, and what are your expectations going forward? At @Tavita_Mac. I am hoping for 7-5. That would be a regular season mark. Losing to Michigan State and Boise State. Wait, you're hoping that we... No, I'm just kidding. Getting what? To a bowl game and hopefully winning that game. That would place BYU at 8 wins following a poinsettia bowl win. That would feel like a major accomplishment.
I agree. And if you heard Blaine Fowler earlier, he had a fantastic comparison to BYU and the way Nebraska started the season under a new head coach last season. They struggled in the beginning, 2-4, ended up with, what, 5 or 6 wins on the
six
season?
6 wins, including a bowl win. Yeah. It was weird, but... Yeah,
they played a tough schedule.
The parallels are amazing.
And then this year, Nebraska's 4-0 and have some quality wins, right? So I think that this if you step back for a moment outside of the season, you look at the Kalani Sitake era and what he's building, what they're doing, you might have a little more tolerance for a stumble in some tough games.
Who does BYU even lose on defense next year? I'm already thinking, like, who are they bringing back next year?
Harvey Longy, Kai Nakua. They would lose. They return all 3 starting linebackers, though.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Who have been the most steady, according
to Tuiloma.
Eli Satuiyaki, the defense coordinator. Yeah, fun. But you know what?
We're projecting next year already?
No, I'm
Wins
not.
Game
I'm
five
just,
this
I'm just
week.
Asking a question. Up next, a new class of BYU athletics in the Hall of Fame.
They are back!
BYU Sports Nation presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most.
Taysom's back!
It's time for the Cougar Whip Around.
Football. The Michigan State game on the banks of the Red Cedar has been announced. BYU football will face the Spartans October 8th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2.
Athletics.
The BYU Athletics Hall of Fame class has been announced. They are Pam Miller Geitzen of golf, cross-country track coach Cheryl W. James, Yanetta Lay of softball, Michaela Manova of cross-country, and Mike Wall of volleyball.
Volleyball.
Speaking of, the women's team moves up 2 spots, number 11 in the latest ABCA poll. The Cougars have the enviable task of going to Malibu. They play at Pepperdine tonight at 10 Eastern on the W.
Cross-country.
Yeah, how about this? New cross-country rankings from the USTFCCCA just came out.
That's a real thing.
The men's team moved up 8 spots to number 4 after upsetting number 1 last weekend. The women have also moved up 4 spots to number 15. Boom!
Cougars in the NFL.
The Tennessee Titans announced Jordan Leslie has been signed to the practice squad today. Also, we wanted to mention Robertson Daniel is back on the practice squad with the Packers.
Got to get that money. Hey, Brian Logan, where's your picture like Rob Daniel hanging in the BYU student-athlete building?
Unnecessary roughness, verbally.
He went after Rob Daniel a little bit,
I know,
so that's why we're doing it.
Yeah. That was a while ago, though. We need the flags back. Hey! Unsportsmanlike conduct!
Future guests include Toledo football head coach Jason Candle, BYU basketball's Dave Rose, the head ball coach, along with Eric Mika, Nick Emery, and Kyle Davis. We saw Eric Mika on campus yesterday. He's excited to come back. It's been a long time since we had Mika in Studio B.
I can't wait. Hail Caesar. Love Eric Mika.
And Michelle Murphy Vasconcelos. All she does is score goals for the number 4 ranked BYU women's soccer team.
And Saturday, we will have a special BYU Sports Nation at 11 a.m. Eastern Time recapping the Toledo game. We call it the pregame show, countdown to LDS General Conference live right here on BYU TV.
We're sent in to wake you up, okay?
Yeah, and the fun part is that particular time is fun because we will have been in here at like 12:30. So let's ball, baby.
I'm proposing something, okay?
Sleepover?
Yes.
Yeah!
And, okay?
Tecmo all night.
Well,
building.
I'm buying an Xbox One S, okay?
Studio C?
That's gonna go to my house. The Xbox 360 is gonna come here with,
yeah,
with college football. Woo! Let's do it, man. All nighter. Nope.
HR right now is like, please do not spend the night at the building.
It's just such a late night and such an early morning.
That would be hilarious if we were just like bloodshot Saturday morning. It wasn't worth it. Funyuns all night.
Hey, Kalani Sitake, by the way, loves Funyuns. Our elite
Ryan
tweet
Logan
of the
should
day.
Join us.
Our elite tweet of the day answering BYU's 1-3. How do you feel and what are your expectations going forward? From at StayClassy94. Still have 100% faith in Kalani Sitake. He's our dude. Most coaches in these games would not keep a team unified like him. Oh, and we need to get today's Rise and Shout in by Dexter. And Dexter, help when you need it most. DexterLaw.com. We can't forget this, Jim.
Oh, it's Bob Bowles.
Yeah, we can't forget that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, and everyone on our crew. The conversation continues 24/7 on Twitter. Use the hashtag BYUSN. Also want to thank Kate Hansen for Between the Lines.
All-nighter with the Xbox and college football. We play a whole season.
I'm getting stoked for Friday night now. Is there also a football game?
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Soren Halliday. We're back to work tomorrow, noon Eastern.